Hi.
This is Dr. Jen Kennedy. Welcome back to the Pleasure Project. So, for today's episode, I want to talk about myths, specifically myths in the culture that really get into our brains from a very early age. Things that you don't even realize. It's not like they're told to you directly. A lot of times they're implicit messages. So, this comes through your family, it comes through your church or your faith. It comes certainly through media in the way of magazines or TV shows or movies. It comes through lots and lots of different directions. These are things that we are told, or it's implied about what should be done, what we should look like, what we should sound like, what are expectations of us as women. And I wrote earlier today, I actually wrote a newsletter about this that'll be coming out as well. And I described it as, does a fish know it's wet? Does it even know that it's swimming in water? And this is analogous to women in our culture, just accepting so much of what is handed to us, the premise that women are seen in a certain way. There's high expectations, there's conflicting expectations of women. And this really trickles down to messing with our sex life. So I've got a few of these different myths that I'm going to talk through, and I'm curious to see what resonates for you. Like, are these things that have affected you? Are you even aware that they might be a part of your psyche? Because if you're having a sex life that isn't all that you want, this might be a factor. So let's start. We're just going to unpack them one by one, and I'm curious to get any sort of feedback to see where things land for you. So I've got a handful here that we are going to go through. The first one being that women have a lower sex drive. So I push back on this one right out of the gates. I don't think that, and this is clinically my experience as well, women inherently have a lower sex drive. I think often, this is a function of having good sex, having the sex you want, feeling good in your body, and feeling entitled to good sex. So, it's a complicated problem. It's not just that women don't care about sex, women are much more affected by many variables. This includes, again, like I said, how they feel about their body, but it also certainly is impacted by their partner relationship, by how much stress is happening in their lives, fatigue, all kinds of things impact a woman's sex drive. And so, one of the first questions I have is, do you like the sex you're having? Is it good quality sex? Do you feel like there's reciprocal attention paid to you with your partner? Do you know how you like to have sex, and have you communicated that? Because quite often we don't really feel that enthused about the quality of the sex we're having, especially in long-term relationships. And so we sort of feel like we could take it or leave it. So it's not as clean and simple as women have a lower sex drive. There's actually other components to that that you have to consider in context. Because I find that when women are having a good sex life connection with partner or with self, they're more inclined to do it. They want more of it because it's working for them. It's giving them a feedback loop of positivity. So, our second one we're going to talk about is the myth that seniors aren't having sex or shouldn't want sex. So, big NO to that. Seniors are totally active sexually and very much love sex. In fact, there's actually been lots of documented, unfortunately, cases of STIs in senior homes because there's so much sexual activity. So, older folks are definitely having sex, and I strongly encourage a vibrant sex life throughout the lifespan. What I will say is, certain things do affect a woman's body as she ages. Oftentimes, heading into menopause, there might be issues around, like, the skin getting a little bit thinner and therefore more tender. And so it's susceptible to micro tears. And so you just have to be careful. Maybe use more lube. There's also sometimes issues with lubrication. But again, back to point one, which is that lubrication is oftentimes prohibited by not being turned on enough. So older women definitely should be having sex if they want to, and I love the idea that sex can be really satisfying throughout the lifespan. So that is a myth I'm going to say no way. Let's see. The third thing I want to talk about is that sex isn't good if it's not like porn. So I think this really gets in the way for a lot of folks. More so men, because men watch porn so much more frequently. But honestly, women do too. Women watch it sometimes with their partners, male or female partners. And so we start to compare. And this might happen overtly through comparison of video porn, but there's also lots and lots of media that we see. There's lots of TV shows that depict really impossibly beautiful women with beautiful bodies, and they seem like they're having a great time. And it's not like that oftentimes in our bedrooms, right? It's messy, it's awkward, the room is not picked up. We don't feel altogether beautiful and ready to go. But we do it anyway. So part of it is being kind to yourself and recognizing that the standards you're holding yourself up to are likely way too high, and that you deserve sex, good sex, pleasurable sex, even when you don't look your best or feel altogether as cute as the images that you've seen. So sex is worth having, and certainly even when it doesn't look like it does on porn. Another one I wanted to myth bust is the idea, this applies both to straight women and oftentimes to the more feminine queer women. And that is that those women are supposed to be submissive, that their role in the sexual exchange is really more one of receiving or pleasing or actually being submissive. Sometimes that means being on the bottom, but it doesn't. It doesn't. That's a myth. That is not true. Just because your outward expression is more feminine or is female definitely doesn't mean that that's the position or the interaction that you like exclusively. I think that this is one of those early ones culturally that gets introduced to us because missionary sex is like that position is just inherently so gendered. And even the language we use in the queer community of tops and bottoms, it insinuates that somebody belongs on the bottom and they are a more passive participant. And I would say not necessarily true. Certainly doesn't have to be true. So I want to start to just kind of open up some of these ideas and start to think about what are you telling yourself about how sex is supposed to be? What gets in the way of you actually having the sex that you want? Like, I'm guessing that you probably have some automatic thoughts sometimes about this would be really fun, or ooh, that'd be so hot, but I'm not gonna say it, and I'm certainly not gonna do it because what would that say about me? Whereas if you could just be, if you could just do what you want, say what you want, have what you want, what might that look like? Let's see. Let's do one more. So this is one I actually also covered in the newsletter, and that is that masturbation means that you're not into partnered sex. So I want to say a big resounding no to this one because both are desirable and fantastic, and I think actually help the other. I think they are two discrete things, and both can be fabulous at different moments in your life if you so desire. In my clinical experience, masturbation really helps sometimes with women who are feeling low desire or haven't had sex in a while or are even feeling dissatisfied in their partner's sex, it can really be a way to wake up the system and help them plug into the kind of sex they really like to have, exploring their body, doing it at their own pace, and determining how much pressure, and do you like penetration, and is your clitoris getting sufficient attention, right? All of that is in your control if you're masturbating. So it can be really glorious. And you don't have to negotiate with anybody about how much attention you get or how long it goes, or what time of day, or have you showered? It's the best part of all this is that you get to do it whenever and however you choose. So I really am a big proponent of masturbation. I think it's wonderful. What I would say with that is, have you tried? Most women statistically masturbate on their backs, but have you tried masturbating on your stomach? The pressure is very different. The angle is totally different, but it's kind of an interesting switch up. Obviously, there's also toys which dramatically change masturbation versus just hand to body. That makes a big difference. There's also anal play, which can come into a factor with masturbation and be really rewarding. So on the flip side, there's partnered sex, which definitely also has a time and a place. And I think just because you're masturbating doesn't mean you won't want partner sex. In fact, oftentimes if people are masturbating regularly, that brings kind of cycles them up a bit and sometimes makes them want more sex. What I will say is that I would love it if you could take the information that you know about your body from solo sex in terms of how you like to be touched, angles, fantasies, all that stuff. If you could bring that into your partnered sex, that could make it so rich. I know it's brave. I know that might scare you a little bit, but if you could generalize that knowledge about your body and about your erotic template in terms of what you like to your partnered sexual experience, that could be really transformational. It's good information. And also, if you know that you like touching yourself in a certain way, that can happen during partnered sex too. It's just, you know, sometimes it requires some communication with your partner so they don't feel shoved aside or less than. Instead, it feels like it's collaborative. Yeah, so I just wanted to put that out there. I think partnered sex is fantastic and it is connection in a way that masturbation is not. There's obviously another person there that's watching you, that's hearing you. There's a lot of signals from the other person that could be really arousing for your mind in terms of smell, in terms of taste, sound, certainly. All of that can really heighten your arousal. So partnered sex can be wonderful, and I think that both are highly endorsed. So it is a myth that you can only have one or the other because I think both are very possible. So I just want to circle back and ask you to kind of drop in and go, what kind of myths maybe am I operating under? What do I think is true in terms of how women are supposed to behave sexually or are supposed to like sexually? Like, what of those things that kind of run you might be factoring in? I would love to hear back from you. And if you would like to hear more myths that I'm going to be addressing, join us for the next group. I've got one starting in March. The Pleasure Circle is 6 weeks, 75 minutes a week. And it's going to be a fabulous group of women. We are going to drop into topics like this and really get in there, understand better what's getting in the way, what do you like, what are you afraid to say that you like, and how can we facilitate it? So reach out if you are interested. I'm happy to give you more information. Jen@pleasureproject.us. And you can also just look at the full content of the newsletter. And subscribe at pleasureproject.us. I look forward to hearing from you. Talk to you soon.